Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Dr. Les Olala, my co-host and cohort in crime, is not able to be with us today. He is away on a ministry trip. We talked this morning, and he is just excited about what God is doing in the program and in your lives. So many of you write to us and tell us what God is doing, and we're thankful for that. And we have been engaging in a very lively discussion on how to take our young people and prepare them to love God passionately and to live for Him with a purpose. And in the studio today are evangelist Kevin Brownfield. And Kevin, you come with a wealth of experience speaking to teens and ministering to teens, and I know you speak at a lot of summer camps. And Dr. Matt Williams, who spent 33 years working as an associate pastor. In fact, you probably have seen almost every aspect of church life there is to see.
I think so.
We should call you the church doctor. but he's here with us, and it's always a delight, Matt, to talk with you. And we're going to talk here in just a moment about something that is very dear to your heart that I know you have. The Lord has really raised you up to put in place servant leadership conferences, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. And we are joined today. We have the privilege of being with a dear friend in ministry and somebody who is just really modeling his heart for the Lord in front of many, many different people as the Lord gives him opportunity, Sammy Fry. Sammy, tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Well, I'm the youth pastor at Yates Sagar Baptist Church. That's my home church. Been in the church probably, I guess, 22 years. Been full-time. It's our 11th year as a youth pastor there, and do a lot of associate work, do counseling ministry and that kind of thing.
And we can tell, just listening to you, that you're not from Wisconsin, brother.
Hi, y'all. Hello from North Carolina.
You're from North Carolina.
I live in a little town called Carthage, North Carolina. It's an hour south of Raleigh and not real far at all from Pinehurst Number 2.
Now, everybody's saved in North Carolina. Isn't that right? I've heard that.
Well, many of them will tell you that. That's really interesting because there's a lot of – it's known as the Bible Belt, and a lot of people have a lot of knowledge. But as you know – knowledge doesn't mean salvation.
Right. Well, the Lord has given you a real heart for teens, and I know I've heard you speak on a number of occasions. It's been my privilege to have known you for a number of years, Sammy, and you're always a blessing. We're glad you could be here with us
today. Thank the Lord.
Matt, tell us a little bit about servant leadership. And we've talked about, you know, modeling the truth and molding the truth into our children and helping to produce in them a heart for ministry, and we noted that that's going to mean for us that we're going to have to be doing it. And that means if we're going to be devoted to this and we're going to be ministering in our churches as men in and around our busy schedules and on top of everything we're doing, it's going to demand the spirit of servanthood in us. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I often call it biblical leadership because as you look at Bible principle, the Bible principle of leading is servant leadership. It was modeled by Jesus Christ. To me, Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, where it talks about don't do like the Gentiles. It says the Gentiles rule over people and lord over people, but those who are the chiefest need to be the servant of all. Mm-hmm. And to me, biblical leadership is really seeing the master successful in the lives of other people. And if we can model that, whatever our role might be, if we could really seek to have that in the lives of others. A couple of principles that I try to go by when I look at biblical leadership is that Mark chapter 10 passage. And to me, what it's saying is be a minister.
Now, can you take a minute? Because servant and leader seem like opposite terms to me. And we're using those terms in an unusual way. And I think you're right. I think you've picked up on what the scripture is saying. When you take those two terms and you put them side by side, and you're saying servant leader sums up the idea of minister.
Well, it really does. And what happens is so often we think of leadership as, okay, I am in charge. I'm the boss. I'm over this, whether it be my family, whether it be a job or whatever. But really, leadership, a one-word definition of leadership is influence. Mm-hmm. And really what the Bible teaches is that we have influence and impact the lives of others as we seek to serve them. I think of the passage in John chapter 13 where Jesus, we normally refer to it as the Last Supper, but he went around and he saw that the disciples needed to have their feet washed. They had been out with their sandals on, walking on the dirty roads, and he went around. He saw the need and he washed their feet. Now, he was the master. He was the discipler. They were the disciples.
Yeah.
But he saw the need, and he went around and washed their feet. And then he said, I've given you an example. He said, as I have done mm-hmm. to you, you need to do to one another. Mm-hmm. See, they didn't realize this was going to be his last night with them.
Yeah.
See, he was here to die on the cross, and that's what was going to happen the next day. But he went around, and then he said, I've given you an example. As I have done to you, do this to one another. And he said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Mm-hmm. And biblical leadership is influencing other people. We're impacting their lives by serving them. It's all throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, if you stop and think about it, you're exactly right. Kevin,
I think it's so good to point out in that context of John 13, the argument that was taking place on their way to the Last Supper.
That's true.
They were trying to see who's going to be number one. I'm number one. I'm number one. Who's going to be number one in the kingdom? And when they got there, nobody wanted to be the doulos. Nobody wanted to be the servant. Nobody wanted to wash anybody else's feet. See, Peter had a particular way he thought leadership should be. He was thinking leadership was being in charge. But really, leadership, and this is one of the paradoxes of Christianity. It's one of the incredible things where we really don't understand all the ins and outs of it. But in order to be great, you are to serve. Get your towel and serve people. And so they're arguing. But then when they got there, Jesus modeled for them the incredible reality of what the kind of leadership that they were going to have for the rest of their lives would be.
Sammy, how would you describe servanthood?
I would describe servanthood as first living my life to the glory of God by the grace of God for the good of others.
Now say that again real slow.
I would describe servant leadership as living my life for the glory of God by the grace of God for the good of others.
That's great. So living my life for the glory of God. Why do you put the grace of God in there?
Well, probably because of my personal failure. I am a first-generation Christian. I was not saved until I was 24. And I think I parented and ministered from a position of fear for some time in my life. It's a little uncomfortable talking about this, but I want to be real in the sense that when I say that, I mean that I thought if I could control the influences into my children's life so that I could keep them from what I was exposed to, that I could control the outcome. Dr. Jim Benny talks about that and uses the term determinism. The problem with that philosophy is it's based on me. So if the kids turn out good, I'm patting myself on the back. If they turn out bad, well, I'm in bad shape. I failed. And the real issue, the reason I add grace in there is because I've come to realize over the years how needy I am and how dependent on Christ I am.
Yes.
Had I understood this earlier as a father, I would have prayed a lot more. I know all the things we've talked about. I love what Brother Kevin shared about the modeling and how you said that. I can't remember.
The molding and the ministry.
And the ministry, but all that to be bathed in prayer and with a heart of dependence on the Lord is where I think personally I really struggle because I just lived, I think, without realizing it, the pride that is rooted in fear oftentimes of trying to control. And that's why I add the grace in
there. So living my life for the glory of God, by the grace of God, for the good of others.
Right, like Christ.
And that's how you would define a servant.
That's how I would define a servant.
That's a pretty good definition, brother.
Well, it helps me. Amen. And, you know, in this text that we're talking about, Ken Collier pointed out at a meeting I was in that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded and washed their feet. And Ken asked the question, what would I do, what would you do if we had just been told and we had been given all things? Probably not washing somebody's feet. You know, probably ordering a pizza or something, you know. So I thought
really,
that was significant.
Really interesting what Brother Sammy just said. My wife and I have a picture of a father in our room, and we love it. It's a father kneeling over the bed of his child praying. And every day I get up, I look at that, and I'm reminded that that is the most important ministry I have for my children. If I want them to be servant leaders, I've got to live my life on my knees. Because Brother Sammy's right. Only God can produce this in them. We can model and we can mold, but we've got to bathe all of it in prayer. And I think that is a great point that he makes.
Brother Matt, you and Kevin have a ministry that God has given you to help moms and dads in this area of helping their children become servant leaders. And you do what you call student leadership conferences, and I believe that you do them really all around the country. Is that right?
Yeah, there's regional conferences around the country, and yet we're really opening it up. Recently, one of the things that I'm excited about doing out of Northland Baptist Bible College is actually offering these conferences to churches, to youth groups and even to leadership, men leadership. I just had a men's retreat where had all the deacons in the church and the pastor there, and we talked about biblical leadership and what it is and how could they as deacons be biblical leaders. This is what we do with young people. We try to train them how to be biblical leaders in their homes and their churches and in their school, whatever school they might be in.
You do this through Christian schools. You do this for churches. You do this in any number of venues. I know we just had you folks in recently at Brookside with our teens, and it was an outstanding time. Just phenomenal.
I think as young people are challenged with the responsibility because of what we have in Jesus Christ and to be challenged with, this is what we should be, and this is how to do it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is great about the conference is not only do we share the principles of Scripture, but we give them what we call a strategy time, where they as a youth group or they as a Christian school can talk about, okay, what's the good? And what are some of the problems that we face? And what does the Bible say about those problems? And how can I go back to my youth group or how can I go back to my Christian school and help be a solution to the problems?
Give us in a nutshell what you guys do. Just give us a brief overview. I go to student leadership, what am I going to get?
An all-encompassing thing is everything's based around the concept of a choice. Okay. We all live lives every day. We're making hundreds of choices, and we call that place a choice point. From Brother Collier's statement years ago, there's only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God, pleasing self. And Brother Matt can articulate this very, very well. But we come to the choice point, and at that choice point, we have got to know what the Bible says so that we make choices that please God and not choices that please self. And that really, in the nutshell, is what I see as the core.
So how do I get to the choice point? Are you going to give me some principles, or what am I going to do there?
Well, we start out with 10 principles that we give them on making godly choices.
Okay.
And we look at those. One principle, for instance, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, the principle is show you love God by doing what he says. And that's just a simple way of saying, you know, we can say that we love God. We can either sing songs about loving God.
Yeah.
But every day, choices that we make either showed that we love God or showed that we loved ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If we would look back on another principle, this is a great one for young people. It comes from Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The principle is just say no. There's times we need to say no.
Yeah.
There's another principle that says silence can mean approval. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 15.
Boy, isn't that a big one.
Sometimes, see, we remain silent when we should speak up. And we're approving of what is going on because we just try to stay neutral in the situation.
If young people would get a hold of that one principle.
That's probably one of the most convicting principles of the conference. I mean, I've probably had more young people tell me that, oh, that was the one that hit me. I'm silent when I should speak up.
You know, these sound exciting. I mean, if I were a parent, I think I'd want my child to have exposure. If this show impacted you, this broadcast impacted you, and you'd like to find out more about having a leadership conference in your church or at your school, talk to your pastor, talk to your youth pastor, and have them get on www.nbbc.edu. More information will be given here at the end of the broadcast in a few moments. Check out the Student Leadership Conference and hopefully bring it to your area. And with that, we'll have to say goodbye. May the Lord bless you.